Welcome inside another edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema here with Ben Solak, and we are running through our, I don't know how to explain it. What are the adjectives to explain this, Ben? Unpredictable, incredible, groundbreaking,
chaotic
is a good word. This is good. These are good words. We're getting the vocabulary out here early on a Tuesday. Tuesday is normally the days everybody just kind of lulls on autopilot, so this is good. We're throwing things at them. What we're doing right now is we're going through all the draft classes in the NFL at random, so you guys can't just look at the title of every episode and be like, oh, I don't have to care about this one. No, you got to care about all of them. And what we're doing is we're going and picking one pick from every single draft class and giving the team a mulligan. But the best part is we're not just giving them a mulligan. We're giving them the opportunity to get a draft mulligan, and then we're hiring ourselves as the GM.
Right. Critical aspect.
Which
critical.
Is the best case scenario for all of these teams. Y'all ever want to contact me in real life, get a little consulting, DMs are always open. So yesterday, what were the four teams we had yesterday? I can't even remember off the top of my head. Falcons.
Chargers, Browns, Bills.
Browns and Bills. Look at you. And today, we are starting off with, I think my brain is like fried eternally from doing that guest mock draft where I was just like repeating it every time. So it's just, I don't know. I think my mind is
right.
Fried. It's kind of like, I thought that would help my memory. I guess it hasn't at all. Today we're starting with the Seattle Seahawks though. That is the first team that I pulled out of the hat this morning. The Seahawks draft, let me pull it up here, make sure I got it. Very interesting draft because this is a team that had four picks going in, ended up picking 11 times. That's, you know, did well for yourself.
It's the right way to do it.
Lawrence Jr. Collier.
Yes.
With the first pick. Pick number 29. Marquise Blair after that. DeKalen Metcalf, big fan here on the podcast.
DeKalen.
Cody Barton, Gary Jennings, Phil Haynes, Ugo Amadi, Ben Burkervin, Travis Homer, DeMarcus Christmas, John Ursura. That's a lot of picks. It's a lot. You got a lot of choices, Ben, here to redo some pick. Not only a lot of choices, like one first round, two second rounders, three fourth rounders. Where are you going? If you could take one of these guys off the board, switch them out with somebody, who would be your draft mulligan for the Seahawks?
Yeah, if anybody has seen me write up the Seahawks draft, which I did earlier, and anybody's seen me talk about it, I've called it my favorite draft class. They'll know where I'm going with this, which is simply I'm so in on every single pick except for the first one because I just do not like LJ Collier. I just don't think he's
Are we gonna have the same pick?
I'm definitely getting rid of Collier. It depends on who you're giving them, because to me, I wanted to really adhere to the Seahawks mentality here. I know they selected Collier because they want a guy to be able to fill that five technique role that they use on their defense. They wanted somebody with a bigger body, a guy who can kick inside, a guy who can still rush from the outside. And so I didn't, you know, want to move on from Collier and give him like Jakai Polite, you know. I didn't give them some sort of edge rusher who I just thought was better. I wanted to give him a guy that would fit their mold. And so I gave him Zach Allen out of Boston College.
Whew,
who's
right,
still
we're good.
A bigger.
We're good.
All right, sweet. Still a bigger body, wins with length, wins with power, has that size. I don't even love Allen as a first rounder. I think that's a little bit too rich for him, but it fits the system very well, and I think he is a measurably better player than Collier with currently better film. Obviously, great athleticism, really good testing, and then strong production. So I do think he's a high floor player for that reason. And I think it would have made a lot of sense in that role for them. I think he's a better player than Collier right now. Obviously, Collier can still develop, but that would have been my selection. If I was taking that big-bodied five-tech Seattle likes, I'd have taken Allen over Collier every day of the week.
You were that high on Allen, huh?
Nick, not really. Like, Allen was like somewhere in like the 40s for me. He was like a top 50-ish player, right?
Okay.
But Collier was like 150 for me. You know what I mean? It's a huge delta between these players.
So you just, okay, so you like that idea better. That was, they pick Allen ahead of Marquise Blair? What happened there? Did
yes, they did. Blair was at 48.
And where did Allen?
And then no. Oh, I see what you're asking. No, Blair was at 48. Allen was all the way back at like 63 for the.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or 65 for the Cardinals. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Well, you're certainly not going to take DeKalen off the board. I would have just canceled the podcast. I would have put up the
never.
I would have put up the now hiring form on Twitter.com for a new co-host if you took DeKalen off the board. I'm doing the same thing. I'm going after the Collier pick. And Collier's fine if you would have got him in the third round. Is kind of like what I'm thinking. But you know, 29 is it's just too rich for me. If you get him somewhere in the late third round, I would have been fine with it. But he's, I think, really a momentum guy. I mean, he does a lot of damage, and you can see when he works his best when he's already got like a full head of steam. I just don't know how often he's going to get all that in the NFL. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm instead having them take Byron Murphy at 29. Byron Murphy landed at 33, I believe. 30, where was it? 33, yes.
33.
I got to trust my instincts. Yeah, he ended up at 33. I thought Byron Murphy is kind of like the perfect player for Seattle. The way that they like to play cover three, he could play a little bit off. He does things with anticipation with his eyes. Griffin, Flowers, and now Taylor. I just do not love that secondary group, and this is an iconic secondary team. I think that they really need to make sure that their identity is safe in what they have, especially on the boundaries, and I don't think that that's solidified right now. I think each guy has flashed a little bit, but I don't trust it as much as I would have if they would have selected Byron Murphy. So I'm picking Byron Murphy for the Seattle Seahawks.
It would signal they're moving away from the big guys, but like scheme wise, he does fit what they like to do. And obviously they drafted a ton of Pac-12 guys. So they definitely had eyes on him.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think of this as much this year until I started putting together, connecting the dots. I mean, geographics does come into it a little bit. Maybe not like a ton. It's not like they're emphasizing these guys over other players no matter what, but I feel like geography kind of goes into this, especially like
in you want a great example of that?
Sure, yeah.
An Eagles example, their East Coast scout working in the Mid-Atlantic, Ryan Myers, was there for years, and Philadelphia was known for having that West Virginia connection. Like, they drafted a West Virginia player a year, right? And that was Myers' area. This season, like the last summer, Myers moved from the Mid-Atlantic to the West Coast scout, and two of Philadelphia's first three picks are Pac-12 players.
Hmm.
They listen to Ryan Myers. Like, he just, like, as a scout, like, they always get one of his guys. He's clearly loved in the building. And so, like, understanding how the team divides up the country via scouts and then being able to track who moves where can help you figure out kind of who the team likes to listen to.
Very much so. No, it's a good little nugget there, Ben. Way to be on your A-game.
Nugs. Little nugs.
Little nugs in the morning.
Just a little nug.
Little breakfast nuggets. New Orleans Saints is the next team that I pulled out of the hat here. They did not have a lot of picks. They were in the same boat as Seattle going into the draft, except they didn't multiply like bunnies. They picked Eric McCoy as their first pick in the second round. Then their next pick wasn't until the fourth round. It was Chauncey Garner-Johnson. So I can't take Chauncey Garner-Johnson off of this team and pick Chauncey Garner-Johnson because he's already here.
A dang shame.
So you guys are lucky. Jimmy Moreland and Kelvin Harmon crossing your fingers. Sixth round, they picked Saquon Hampton. Elise Mack was after that. And Caden Ellis, both those last two guys in the seventh round. Ben, who sticks out like a sore thumb here? Anybody?
Right, that's the issue, is that I have really no complaints. This is a top five draft class.
It's a good draft, man. It was a really good draft.
Yeah, it's a good draft. And obviously, it's limited in numbers as well, right? You don't have it's five picks. It's not even like there's like a ton to choose from here. I love Eric McCoy, Chauncey Garner-Johnson, and Elise Mack. I don't want to touch any of those three picks. Caden Ellis is a seventh rounder with amazing athleticism. Like, I might be like, oh, they could have selected this other seventh rounder I'd like more, but like, there's nothing really to complain about there. Saquon Hampton, did you need to go back-to-back safety? I mean, honestly, with their depth chart, it does make some sense. Like, I don't hate it at all, but Hampton's going to be the pick that I changed simply because I think it's the worst of a good bunch. I don't really have too much issue with it. It's just it's the only one I can justify changing.
Mm-hmm.
The question then becomes, what do you change it to? It's a really good roster. It's deep. It's got good starters. You think maybe about linebacker a little bit, but honestly, like, they have Vince Beagle. They have obviously Caden Ellis, who they bring in. Craig Robertson is another one of their backups. Like, they're decent there. I mean, are you going to give them an edge rusher who's going to be able to take snaps ahead of Trey Hendrickson is their number three, Mario Edwards playing on the outside? Like, it's too difficult. So I look at 177 and I say, all right, I have to change this. Who do I change it to? Well, I'm not sure the Saints are going to be able to hold on to Teddy Bridgewater. And if they can't, they need a backup. And listen, the Saints run a fair amount of air raid based stuff. So Gardner Minshew went one pick later, 178.
Oh.
Let's bring in young quarterbacks. Listen, we got Drew Brees older, and we know
this
you know
the fact.
Cycle.
These
you know
the rules. These are the facts. He's older. This
when your franchise quarterbacks are getting older, just cycle in young guys and see if you hit. And so I moved Saquon Hampton from 177. I went literally one pick later and took Gardner Minshew at 178.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, quarterbacks are kind of tricky because you can't really hold more than three, right? I mean, like, especially on, like, game day, some teams only even have two quarterbacks active. So
right, which the Saints would have three active because Taysom Hill plays punt gunner.
Sure,
for them, you know
that's
what I mean?
That's
weird.
True, but at any point they could honestly change that guy's position. So I don't know. But so all that to say that you can't necessarily stockpile quarterbacks, but I am surprised that NFL teams don't take more initiative towards looking towards the future with quarterbacks. And it's like a situation like this. I mean, I'm not a big Gardner Minshew fan, so I mean, I don't
right.
love Gardner Minshew himself, but I love the idea here of saying like, hey, Drew Brees probably isn't going to retire next year, right? I mean, maybe the year after that, heck, maybe they get three more years out of him, who knows. But if you can see the end in sight for your quarterback, your very good franchise quarterback, why don't you take steps towards getting his replacement almost like 3 years out? And just like you said,
sure.
take some throws to the dartboard, right? Maybe one of them will hit.
Listen,
if you hit on it early,
the Patriots have been acquiring capital and players with the half threat that Brady might get bad at some point for the past 10 years, right?
Yeah.
She's been drafting quarterbacks and making stuff out of them and getting picks back just because, like, hey, maybe Tom will finally be bad this year. Oh, you think there's a chance? Well, guess what? We have this backup who's kind of good. Maybe we want him. Maybe we don't. How does it, you know, trading us a second-round pick sound?
Saquon Hampton is also the pick that I am switching out.
Right.
I was worried. No, I wasn't really worried that you were going to pick this guy. The guy that I'm picking for him, and I look at that as well. I look at the back-to-back safeties. It kind of makes sense. I love the Elise Mack pick. There's not a lot of holes on this Saints roster. They're going to be one of those teams that you really look at and you just go, ah, it's not a... And then, two, you got to think about this. It's the sixth round. So you're not really going up at the top and you're looking at, okay, who are the Saints needs? Some corner, some D-line, maybe some linebacker, some O-line, and maybe a little wide receiver. Like, you're not necessarily looking at big needs because this is a depth pick or you're swinging
right,
for the
exactly.
fences kind of a pick.
Exactly.
So it's really just depending on who's on the board. And at this point in the draft, Rodney Anderson was still on the board. And if I were the Saints, I would have taken Rodney Anderson because they signed Latavius Murray. I mean, first and foremost, they lost Mark Ingram. They signed Latavius Murray, okay, but they got an out of his contract basically after next year and for sure the year after that. I think Rodney Anderson would be a much better back than Latavius Murray would be, especially in a complementary role to Alvin Kamara, who is truly the X factor of that offense. But I think it's one of those things where it's a sixth-round pick. This guy was the best running back in the country when he was healthy. You already have Alvin Kamara. You already have Latavius Murray. Take the chance, man. Take the chance and maybe hit a home run on this guy if he stays healthy. So that's what I – and then, you know, if Murray is there, you cut Murray loose. You get 2 years of Rodney Anderson, who you already like, on a rookie deal. So all that to say, I would have taken the chance on a guy like Rodney Anderson, looking at what the Saints had last year, how their offense works, how you could possibly replace Mark Ingram, and how it makes sense, I think, contractually with what they're doing. So
there you go. No, I like that. And, yeah, my other thought was just, all right, we either get the backup for Drew Brees or we just go to town getting weapons for Drew Brees,
right?
It's like when you have the aging quarterback, it's one of the two approaches. It's like get ready for tomorrow or, you know, die for today, right? Just like pour resources into it. So, I mean, Anderson, a healthy Anderson with Kamara in the backfield is just obnoxious in terms of the receiving ability
right.
you can get out of those guys
right.
running 20, 21 personnel. So I like that. It's a fun fit. It should be fun to see.
I'm here for fun. We're going Dallas Cowboys next. Cowboys,
yeah,
another team. I guess the theme is not having a lot of picks and doing things with them. They didn't have a first-round pick either. Their first-round pick was in the second round. It was Tristan Hill, then Connor McGovern, Tony Pollard, Michael Jackson, Joe Jackson, Donovan Wilson, Mike Weber, Jalen Jelks. We talked about this before when we were doing all of our team recaps. I really like Tristan Hill, so I'm not going that direction to change that. But then they've got a third, a fourth, 5th, a 5th, a 6th, a 7th, and a 7th. So a lot of day 3 picks here for Dallas, which could potentially set up swapping out one of these guys, maybe going for a home run ball. Ben, what are you doing here with this class if you could take one back?
Right. So I wasn't a huge fan of the Cowboys draft class. I thought Tristan Hill was overdrafted, but I acknowledged the fact that, they desperately need that interior guy. They needed some defensive tackle help, so I don't want to touch it. Did. My biggest thing, like for a lot of these, my approach has been finding a pick I really didn't like and then changing that pick. For the Cowboys, I ended up doing things a little bit backwards. I ended up saying, listen, I really think they needed to address edge earlier than they did. Joe Jackson in the 5th round is a player that I like, but I don't really see him as having much starting potential. Jalen Jelks in the 7th round, a fun gamble on a body type guy, on a guy with incredible length and with good quickness, but obviously a player who really struggled in his final season, wasn't really able to pan out, never really filled out his frame. At this point you're hoping to get something out of Robert Quinn, who you acquired, in like, I believe, trade with the Dolphins when the Dolphins were kind of just like, getting ready for their tank. You obviously have the big contract for DeMarcus Lawrence, but Taco Charlton has not been anything for you. Dorrance Armstrong from last year barely was able to get any snaps. So I would expect them to go earlier on edge. And so I'm trying to find a good edge for them to drop back to, and I land on 95. O'Shane Ximenes goes to the Giants 5 picks after they select Connor McGovern, the guard out of Penn State. And the thing is, the McGovern pick, like, it was early for me on McGovern, but also I don't see McGovern as a huge improvement on Connor Williams as the left guard, on definitely not on Zach Martin as the right guard, and I'm not even sure he's better right now than Xavier Suofilo is as the backup, as the swing guy on the interior. So I did a 3rd-round pick on a guy who's maybe offensive lineman 7, offensive lineman 8. Like, just to me, I don't know. I thought their offensive line was set, and I really didn't think that they needed to do that. Now, McGovern as center, obviously Travis Frederick, there's some uncertainty there, and I acknowledge that with Guillain Barre syndrome, we're not really sure what his pro future looks like. But just to me, like, obviously there's that big asterisk, do they know something that we don't know? But just looking at the depth chart as it is right now, I can't really justify the McGovern pick. O'Shane Ximenes, I think, is a much clearer path to starting and contributing much earlier, much more effectively than McGovern does in the opposite trench. And so I X'd out McGovern at 90, went 5 picks down, and took O'Shane Ximenes from the Giants.
I am taking McGovern away as well. But I'm going a different direction than you. I don't mind the direction that you were talking about, going with edge. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just didn't love Ximenes. So as I was looking at the guys around him and the guys below him, the name...
Oh, Anthony Nelson.
The name
that... Who did he go to again? Tampa.
He went to Tampa. The name that really stood out to me for the Cowboys, and I could be... I don't know if I'm out of left field here, but at what point do we look at the Cowboys receiver group and go, yeah, they're good. They're fine. I mean, they got Amari Cooper, and then you're putting all kinds of stock in Tavon Austin and Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup and Allen Hurns. Like, those are a bunch of, like, names. Like, those guys are fine, but...
I hear you.
Who's...
Cedric Wilson.
You know, like, who you really going to other than Cooper, basically, when it's crunch time. And especially when you have a guy like Dak, who I think need better weapons. I'm going Hakeem Butler. I'm picking Hakeem Butler for them instead of the Connor McGovern pick. It'd be funny if they could... Wow. Well, actually, it wouldn't, because remember... Conor McGregor was at, like, Dallas Stadium, and he tried to throw a football, and it was, like, the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So I'm not taking
Conor McGregor. Admittedly, like, he didn't grow up in a football country, but
I will also admit that it's bad. Hakeem Butler in this offense, okay? You have a big-bodied receiver now for Dak, and Hakeem Butler is not just this big guy on the outside where you go, okay, well, he just wins with length, and that's fine. No. This guy's got breaking tackle ability. He can catch through traffic. He can get run yards after the catch. He can play inside. He can play in that big slot role as well as being an outside receiver. I think he'd be such a great complement to an offense that already has Amari Cooper, and obviously... I almost picked tight end because I was like, hold up, why is... Because I was like, tight end was so bad for Dallas last year. I thought, why in the world is this not higher on their... And then I remembered they re-signed Jason Witten straight out the booth, and now people are like, oh yeah, tight end's good, we're fine. So I almost went tight end there.
If I didn't go edge, I would have gone tight end, but I'm still a huge Blake Jarwin truther, and so I didn't want to touch it.
Okay.
But what's really, really funny is so, you know, I look at the RLADS depth charts when we're doing this work.
Yes.
And RLADS, if a player was drafted by the team, if they weren't acquired in free agency, then RLADS puts the year they were selected and the round in which they were selected behind their name, right? And so, like, you know, for Randall Cobb, it's like you, Green Bay, undrafted free agent from Green Bay. But for, like, you know, Tyron Smith, it's like 11-1, right? 2011 first round pick.
Yes.
Jason Witten obviously left and came back, but he wasn't acquired in free agency, so it's by when he was drafted. So Jason Witten is on the roster as 033. It's easily the smallest number I've ever seen in our lives. 2003 third round pick. In 2019, he's on the roster. Despicable. Despicable. How could you? Oh.
That's great. So yeah, I'm putting Hakeem Butler, I'm pairing Hakeem Butler with Amari Cooper, and I think that really helps out Dallas a lot more, especially for a team that I think's just got to score more consistently to kind of get it done. Last team we're going for is the team that I pulled, New York Giants. The New York.
Oh, I know. I've got mine. I'm locked in.
Football,
I'm ready.
Ball Giants. Their first pick, if you weren't aware already, Daniel Bartholomew Jones III, quarterback,
no, it's not.
Duke. After that,
lies.
We had Dexter Lawrence, then DeAndre Baker. Those were their other two first-round picks. Then they didn't pick till the third round.
You think Dave Gettleman was just like, listen, my name is Dave. I like people whose first names start with D, and that's how we're going to approach this first round.
Could have picked Drew Lock. Could have picked...
Yeah, would have been...
Could have
an even worse first round.
Could have picked
Dwayne Haskins, cough, cough.
Word Oliver. Would have been better. I'm stretching that one. Zimenez was their third round pick. And then on day three, they went Julian Love, Ryan Conley, Darius Slayton, Corey Ballantyne, George Asofo. Is that how you say his name? Right?
I think. Asofo Dai. Yeah, I had no idea who he was when he was picked.
All right. Well, there you go. I did his name pretty good for not really knowing who he was. And then Christopher Slayton.
Shout out, Trev.
They went. Two Slaytons back to back. All right, Ben, of that draft class, who are you changing?
This was a tough one. And I really, you know, worked it through and I said to myself, okay.
You prayed about it.
What? Yeah. And I consulted my spiritual father and I talked with some experts and I said, listen, how can I possibly make this very bad class not as bad? And they said, well, the answer is right in front of you. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, the Giants drafted Daniel Jones at 6, one of the most laughable picks in the first round. You should probably change that one.
Wow.
I said, you know what?
I think that's a quote from the Bible, actually.
Yep. You're right.
The New York Giants picked Daniel Jones was one of the most laughable picks of the first round, yep. Revelation 3.
If you did not, if you, Trevor, and you, the listener, look at this draft class, and your answer isn't change Daniel Jones to Dwayne Haskins, we are
taint
throwing
Daniel
hands
Jones
on site.
Too.
Just yeah, exactly. First, if you don't change Daniel Jones, it's hands. But then,
hands on site.
It's hands on site. If it's not Dwayne Haskins, if it's like Locke or Greer or I don't know who else, just what are we talking about? What is happening right now? It's Daniel Jones to Dwayne Haskins. You change the bad quarterback to a quarterback who might be good, and then your team might actually be good because they won't have a bad quarterback. They'll have a quarterback who might be good, which is better than having a bad quarterback. Does anybody have any questions?
My only question is who are you picking?
Class dismissed. Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
Daniel Jones leaves. Dwayne Haskins comes in. The class is not as bad. There's a chance that things are good. Amen.
All right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Except for the fact that I don't want them to be good this year. I want them to be bad. Give me the guys that are coming out next year, okay? At number 6, I'm getting Daniel Jones all the way the hell up out of there. And I'm picking Josh Allen, not the quarterback. Although if Buffalo wants to trade hands, we can fight about it. And then they'll take Josh Allen from him. Have two Josh Allens. Josh Ally would be the plural of that.
That's the plural.
I like the idea of Josh Allen. I thought Josh Allen would have been the right pick for them. I thought about Ed Oliver, but I just didn't. I didn't love Oliver coming into the situation in New York just as much as I would have for Josh Allen. I think he would have a chance to be a much better bona fide starter, start really getting his feet wet, coming into his own in the next couple of years, being that edge rusher that I think New York desperately needs as a consistent player on the outside, winning with speed, winning on the inside. I think that that's or with the inside move, rather. I think Josh Allen was totally the right pick for the Giants, and they blew it. If they wanted to go quarterback at 17, which, I mean, at that point, I don't really believe Dave Gettleman at all when he says that Daniel Jones would have been gone by pick 17. So I kind of think that right. If they still wanted Daniel Jones or Drew Locke, they could have picked either of them at 17. I think Dwayne probably was going to be gone for the Redskins. I think that he was just going to go 14. But all that to say, I don't want any quarterback from this class. I want quarterback from next year's class. So give me the edge rusher, let me build for the future, and let me go take my franchise quarterback next year. Boom. To quote Ben, are there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
You're consigning yourself to 16 more games this season of Eli Manning.
Correct. Think of the content.
Gonna get ran out of town by New York, but it's all right.
My heart breaks for this country, but this is tremendous content.
Honestly, I mean, and it is. But it's not like we lost any content with Daniel Jones being selected at 6. And then the subsequent quarterback confusion / battle / not actually battle / sitting for 3 years is going to happen. And the content will continue to flow. Dave Gettleman is the GM of content, is really the team that he manages for.
And we really do thank you for that. Okay, four teams down. We got another four coming up tomorrow. I'm keeping the hat next to my desk. So it's always here, and we're always ready to get that very next team and rip them for not picking the players that we should have. Because that's what we do on the show, you know? So other shows are uplifting. We're here to tear people down. We're here to make sure that they know that we're better at them than the jobs. They just get paid more to do it.
I really didn't follow that, but yeah, screw you guys. We win.
I mean, if they just want to pay us, they want to pay us a little more, we'll be more uplifting. I could be the GM of a team, and I can repent. I can change my ways. I can be nice to people. You just got to pay me for it.
No, I'm good. I'm good to sit here and just criticize the other 32 of them, having never, you know, been able to do the job.
Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.